Well, Father, I just praise you and I thank you. And I know, Father God, that you placed this video on my email and that you want the people to see it. So I know it's already blessed. And I'm asking, Father God, to bless the eyes that are watching it. And Father God, let the message go deep down into their spirit and let them receive the fruit of this video. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So go ahead, Brother Brett, and play the video.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. My guest says 2020 is the decade of difference. This is your time. This is your moment. This is what you've been waiting for. My guest is Brenda Kuhneman, and you usually see her on television, a kind of a tag team match with her husband, Hank Kuhneman. But Brenda is a prophetess in her own right. And Brenda, about 12 years ago, you prophesied what is happening today. What did you prophesy?
Well, the Lord had given me a word that we would see entertainers all across the TV screens that would begin to herald the name of Jesus, Yeshua, all across the airwaves. And of course, the Lord pointed that it would begin to manifest over the next several years, 10 years, and even into the new decade. Famous personalities, entertainers, musicians, athletes, all of these different well-known celebrities would begin to speak the name of Jesus and preach the gospel.
Well, Brenda, God has shown you that this next decade, what are we going to look forward to?
Well, this is what the Lord has been saying, Sid, and I'm so excited about this because the Spirit of God is declaring this is a decade of difference, and I'm going to explain what I mean by that. But if you look at the last decade, 2010 up to 2019, you know, it was a year of great struggle in many areas for the church, not just people on a personal level, but we saw this on a global level. We saw an increase in persecution coming against God people. Even in America, in the United States, we saw a great number of our Christian values come under attack like we have probably never seen. And it was just almost seen it resounding, repeating itself and increasing. And this is what the Lord has put in my spirit, that in 2020 and beyond, this would be a decade where the church, in fact, the Lord had given me a word toward the end of 2019, the Spirit of God said, watch even as the church comes into a place of great celebration where they will begin to say, we want our values back. We want prayer back in the schools. We want to see the Spirit of God in our courthouses again. It's not good enough to say, well, we're just going to do away with the Bible. No, people are tired of that. But what I want to say about the decade of difference is, first of all, God is saying it's going to be different than it was before. Now, this is so important. I believe the Spirit of God is saying people have to get a different perspective. You know, they can't continue to see through clouded eyes what we've seen in the past. We've got to look up and see that the Spirit of God is about to set us not just nationally, globally, but personally on a new platform where we're going to start seeing successes. We're going to start seeing more breakthroughs, more healing, supernatural things taking place. Where the plower, come on, is going to overtake the reaper in a supernatural way. It's going to shock people. Sid, I'm here to prophesy that there is a difference coming to the people of God, that we're going to be set in a place of the supernatural anointing that the world can't match. The media is going to have to put it on the screens. They're not going to be able to deny it. Science won't be able to deny it because there is a difference coming. And I want to add this one piece to that is that and in our house, this is what we've been declaring. My house is a no-fly zone to the enemy in the decade of difference. That's what we're coming into in this new decade from the Spirit of God.
You have a new book on this subject? It's more than a book, though. It'll be a lifestyle that is going to so change families and individuals. And you talk about the decree or the declaration? What is that?
Well, I believe in this decade, it's very necessary that our words get aligned with heaven. It's so important. We've got to speak what God speaks. We need to get in alignment with the prophetic words. We've got to get in alignment with the scripture. And we've got to speak and declare things according to the word of God. If I can give you a very obvious biblical example, in the days of creation, God said, light be, but he spoke before there was a manifestation. Sound always precedes manifestation.
Boy, that's such an important statement. Will you say that again?
Sound always precedes manifestation. Sometimes we want a miracle. We want a manifestation in our life, but we ourselves don't want to put out the right sound. And I'll just say it like this, and for you that are viewing right now, sometimes the hardest time to put out the right sound is when you're in a battle, when you're in a fight, when you're looking at the earth and it looks like it's void and without form and it doesn't seem like there's a manifestation and everything's going against. In fact, I feel like there's somebody, you're right now in the fight of your life. You feel like you're in a battle, but the Spirit of God is saying when you begin to put those declarations out in agreement with the scripture, in agreement with that prophetic word that you had, something is going to shift and you will, I prophesy it's true, you will see the manifestation of the Spirit of God.
What is the difference between a decree and just speaking?
A declaration or a decree, if I could say it that way, is an authoritative order backed by the law. We could say it like this, that our decree prophetically is an authoritative order. When we align it with God's word, it is an authoritative order backed by the word of God. And when it's backed by the word of God, here's the beautiful part, Sid, it must come to pass. It has to happen because God already declared it so.
We've taken your book of a hundred of these amazing declarations, every arena, every area you can think of. But there's one that's really close to the heart of just about everyone that's watching us right now, and that is your own household. I want you to read a declaration from your book right now on household.
Absolutely. And I want you to receive this because maybe you're in a place where your marriage is in trouble. You're having trouble with your children. Maybe they're grown children or little children, whatever it is. And I want to encourage you with this. God is about families. He's about households. Okay. We saw in Acts 16, whole households came to Jesus. They came to the Lord. So right now, I want you to agree with me. I'm going to say we decree because we're in agreement together, you and me. This is not you by yourself. We are standing together. So today, we decree household blessings, salvations. We declare the visitation of God is coming to your house to release household blessings. We pray every member of your family, come on, receive that. They shall be touched by the power and the supernatural, tangible presence of the Almighty God in a divine way. We break the power. Come on, just stand up against the enemy. We break the power of every hindering spirit from coming against your home, your family, your property. Come on, your stuff. You're going to take your stuff back. I want you to just say it right now. My house is a no-fly zone to the devil. My house. Come on, say, my house is a no-fly zone.
My house is no-fly.
To the devil. And all your belongings are covered in the name of Jesus. We say together that all the works of darkness are bound, and we speak an overshadowing of the Lord over your home. And we pray that angelic forces shall be released to protect, and they shall stand watch. They're going to be there. Just trust that. We pray a new day over your home, and that in this season, every family member in your home comes into a new and fresh encounter with the Lord God Himself. In the name of Jesus.
Can you imagine 100 of these decrees, and every day you decree a new one over yourself and your home and in every arena of your life? Brenda says there's a habit that will literally command the forces of darkness to stop. Are you interested? You talk about in time of crisis, come dressed as you are. What does that mean?
One of the hardest things to do in all of our Christian walk and all of our walk as believers, one of the toughest things to do is speak right in a crisis. When you are in a battle, and fear is facing you, a symptom of diagnosis, and you don't know what to do, you feel that literal impaling anxiety in your stomach. That is one of the hardest times to say the right thing. And so it is very necessary for us to make the point that we speak correctly when there's not a crisis, when there's not, we have to be in the habit. And that's one of the reasons I've put decrees together, because I want people to have a tool to make the habit, build the house when the sun is shining. You know, in our house, we declare every day we're going to live long and strong, and we will never go to our grave premature. We're going to stand strong and live as long as God has designed so that we fulfill our purpose. We make these declarations through our house. We walk through. I mean, we shout them out on the porch, whatever we got to do. But you build that habit so that when you do face something, you're ready and you're dressed for battle.
And you have even decrees to command the forces of darkness to scatter.
Absolutely. Well,
I pray that right now.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to tell you, not only can you force command the forces to scatter, you can command every demon that has tried to come against you. It might be in your generation. In fact, right now, I speak to every generational curse that's come against your life. I prophesy every curse, every incantation, all voodoo curses. I break the power of witchcraft over your house, over your generation, everything that has bound you, kept you, hindered you, spoken to you that is not from God. I decree into the atmosphere right where you're watching, and I say in the authority of the name of Yeshua that that thing is broken and bound. I break the power of every seducing spirit, hindering spirit, every lying spirit, every spirit of rebellion. We say it comes off your mind, off your thoughts, all stiff-neckedness, all hard-heartedness, all blindness, all deafness in the spirit. We say it's broken over you. And every spirit, in fact, right now you're watching, and someone you're watching, you've been bound by a demonic spirit of infirmity that you have had prayer after prayer, and it's held you, and you're hurting. And I say right now, spirit of infirmity, you come off of that person in the authority of the name of Yeshua. And I say to you, and I declare into your atmosphere, be free in Jesus' name.
Now, it's one thing to teach, to preach, to proclaim. It's another thing when a loved one is dying, no hope. What did you do when you found out that was going on with your father?
Well, we had gotten a call that, you know, my father had had a complication with diverticulitis and his bowel had perforated. And for about 6 months, the matter of the bowel was leaking into the cavity of his body. And by the time they realized it, he was so deeply infected that he was really hours away from death. And we walked in that hospital, and I will tell you, it looked hopeless. It looked very bleak. And this is why, again, it is so important that we keep our mouth decreeing all the time.
And I remember decreeing the right things.
Correct. It is very necessary. And we walked in there and we said in the name of Jesus, he's going to live and not die. And there were times I felt like, you know, my head is screaming, he's not going to make it. You're going to get here in the morning and he's going to be dead.
You were reacting by what the doctor said, what
correct.
You saw with your eyes.
He had a medical book that was like a three-inch binder that was so big. There were so many things wrong with him. And I remember our family members and our little son, Matthew, he's grown now. He's 26, but he was a little first grader at that time. And he knew that he'd been taught the power of declaration and decree. And I remember that little boy would sit in Grandpa's room and color his coloring books, and he remembered the story when they came and brought the man that was paralyzed through the roof, and he said, Grandpa, you're going to get up out of your bed, because Jesus said to the man, take up your bed and walk.
Right.
He said, Grandpa, take up your bed, go home to your house, and he would sit in that room and declare that. I tell you, in about 30 days' time, my father was up eating Jell-O. A nurse had gone on vacation, and there were so many visions of that. I had a vision of an angel that came in the room, and they brought Jesus and showed his back. Many, many things that happened with that. But in 30 days, he was awake to the shock of the doctors. So much so that the doctor, in fact, there was one nurse who'd been on vacation. She came back and said, "Is that the man from room 10? She couldn't believe he was sitting up talking. But they wrote, Sid, in his medical journal, "This is not the work of medical science. This is the work of faith and prayer." But I believe declaration and decree was key to that miracle.
Now, I was taught never say never, but you say there is one thing we should never, 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 never do. What is that?
Well, the one thing we should never do when we're most tempted, especially to do it, because everybody deals with it, Sid, is we should never become the devil's prophet. Don't speak for the enemy. You know, anybody can speak what they see. We can speak what we see over our own health. We can speak what we see on the news. Now, that'll preach right there, because it's easy to get caught up in what the networks are saying.
Will you get your foot off of my foot right now? I feel like you're hit here.
You know, but we all do it. We all fall into it. You know, sometimes you want to throw that shoe at the TV and then, you know, get in those comment sections on social media and argue with the best of them. But we have to be careful we're not advertising for the enemy and setting things in motion that God does not endorse. And if we do that, it sets us up for failure. And it's so easy, especially in this communicative era that we live in. Our society is all about everybody's got an opinion and they're speaking it loudly. You know, we all have a voice on something. But we have to be so careful. And I believe this is so careful right now, especially concerning our nation, that we have to carefully speak in alignment with what God is doing prophetically and not just speak after our own party, our own opinion, our own thought process, how we were raised. We've got to get in alignment with God, because if we don't, we set ourselves up for failure. And that is where a lot of people, they wonder why they don't see a miracle. We can't advertise for the devil with our mouth, but anybody can speak what they see. It takes an anointing to promote the good and follow God.
You teach the devil cannot oppose our words.
Absolutely. No, we can't. And here's why. Because when, you know, we learned about Newton's law when we were growing up as kids, mm-hmm. You know, this is eighth grade science, that when something is set in motion, you throw a baseball or a football, that thing will stay in motion until it is hit upon by an opposing force. No opposing force could ever stop what God says. So if we align with God, no opposing force can stop what we've said. It may look like it's trying to oppose. But you and I stay on that word that we've declared, that healing word, that financial blessing word. Come on, that word over our household, over our prodigal children. We stay on that declaration. The devil can't do anything to stop what's already been in motion by the anointing.
Okay, I'm going to draw out of your spirit right now. I want you to decree whatever God is showing you right now in your spirit.
Well, here's what I really feel, and I feel this by, man, the presence of God is right here on this set, and I feel very strong by the Spirit of the Lord that right now what's resonating in you is you are suffering in some condition physically. Right now, just receive this. I speak over your physical being, and I say to the blood, I speak to the bones, I speak to your immune system of your body, I say to every organ, every fiber, every cell, I say it must line up and come into alignment with and function the way God created it. I say in Jesus' name that your body begins to receive life afresh. It begins to receive new zeal, new life, new Zoe life from the Spirit of God. I prophesy wholeness now. I prophesy healing now. I say that you begin to experience the quality of life. No more lying in bed. No more aches. No more pains. We speak against aches, pains, ailments, every manner of condition in the body that would try to take away from your joy, that would keep you from living life afresh. In fact, I say renewed energy comes upon you now in the authority of the name of Jesus, that you'll begin to run again, dance again, do things, come on, that you couldn't do. You'll begin to step out in a new way and even exercise again, for there's a new life and an energy coming upon you now in Jesus' name. And there are people that you are, that I just see somebody, your marriage is in trouble. You feel like your whole relationship, everything you've tried to do, you've been to counseling, you've been to out there to get help, and your marriage is in trouble. I speak right now over that spirit that has tried to come into your home, that striving spirit of contention. We speak against misunderstanding. We break the power of every demon spirit to come in that would be a divider and that would be a severer, that would bring a confusion and a lack of peace. We bind that warring demonic spirit that has come in to divide one against the other and create great chaos. We say in your household, peace you return. Peace you return. We prophesy that the unity of God begins to descend in a supernatural way. So much so, in fact, I feel the Lord say, even now, you watch what takes place over your marriage relationship, that you will see in the months to come ahead of you, as this is being spoken, that you will say, I don't even know what we were so upset about. Why were we fighting? What was all of this issue? Because the Spirit of God is about to bring a whole new peace into your home, and it'll shock you, says the Lord, and you will love one another greater than you ever have before. Now, I want to speak another thing that I feel by the Spirit of God. Those of you with prodigal children that are away from the Lord, we speak over them and we say that every seducing spirit, every lying spirit, every child that is suffering from a rebellious stiff-necked resistance, we speak over your prodigal sons and daughters and we say right now, Satan, you take your hands off of them. We break up that hard-heartedness and we say it's replaced with a soft heart, an open heart, a heart that sees truth and sees life and sees blessing. We say that they come back into right fellowship with you and fellowship with God in the name of Jesus. And we say, devil, get off of them. And we loose the Spirit of God upon your prodigal children. And we say, they are coming home now. In fact, I feel by the Spirit of God. I hear the Lord say, begin rejoicing, mother and father. Begin dancing. Begin running again. Get the feast ready, for that prodigal child is about to come home in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just receive that right now.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord out loud and believe in your heart that he rose from the dead, you shall be saved.
Wasn't that awesome? So now we're going to watch how we speak, right? If I hear you speaking wrong, I'm going to say decree and declare. I'm about to look them up, but they're on TV, her and her husband. I'll bet that'd be pretty good to watch then, don't you? All right. Now, it's on Sid Roth. If you want to listen to it again, you go on YouTube and listen to it. But Sid Roth happened to, you know, he sends me emails, and that one came through. And so I sent him away for a book, though. I think that'd be pretty good to have those two decree over yourself, your home, and everything every day. All right. Now let's talk. This is what God spoke, and this is why I happened to go there. Children, you must start decreeing and declaring what I have spoken over your lives, and once you decree and declare, you must receive. It does you no good to speak something out if you are not going to believe. You have to believe to receive, and you'll find that in Mark 11:24. God said, my word has always been yes and amen. Why do you think that all of a sudden, just because darkness is covering the earth, that my word is null and void? God said, have I not said, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you? Then why are you still looking for the glory? And I covered some of that this morning. That's in Isaiah 60:1-3. Decree and declare that word over your lives. Stop trying to manipulate me with your worldly words. My words are life and they have power. Your words, if not spoken properly, bring death and destruction. Excuse me. Speak truth and stop speaking lies. Stop speaking what the enemy is whispering in your ears. Take control over your tongue and speak life and not death. And you'll find that in Proverbs 18:21. Decree and declare that a thing is happening and watch it manifest itself. in Job 22:28. Decree and declare that a thing is happening and watch it manifest itself. God did not say put your hands into it. You speak it and then you watch him do it. And this is where we miss the boat, is he tells us what to do and we do what he says, but then we stick our hands in there thinking he doesn't know how to bring it to pass. God says when you make a decision, it will be carried out and light will shine on your ways. If you decree something, it will stand. Light will shine on your ways. Read that again. When you make a decision, it will be carried out by God and light will shine on your ways. Then he said again, if you decree something, it will stand and light will shine on your ways. If you decree something and believe it, it's going to stand. And when you decree, you have to do that with your faith. Not with your doubt and unbelief, but with your faith. God says, you are frozen in time because of your words of destruction that you speak over your lives. Break the curse. So what we need to do now is to decree that the curse is broken. The curse words we spoke over our life is broken. And God is bringing blessings instead of cursings. We do the cursing, God does the blessing. God said, stop fooling around, arguing if decreeing and declaring is right or wrong. You read in my word where I continually tell you to decree a thing. My entire word uses the word declare. And so I look up the word declare, and it's all through the Bible from front to back. It's everywhere. You can't, you know, and I didn't bother counting how many times it's in there. That takes too much time. But decreeing and declaring is in the word. God said, if my people who are called by my name would stop their foolishness, the harvest would be streaming into the houses of worship. This harvest is overly ripe, and some is rotting in the field. In other words, some are dying. God says, decree and declare full harvest, and then go forth and bring the harvest of lost souls into the houses of praise and worship. Decree and declare full harvest. In other words, there's not going to be one soul missed. Everybody that God has marked for his kingdom is going to be brought into the house of God. God said, when I created the heavens, I decreed and declared. And it was. So I went to Genesis chapter 1 because I want us to see how he created the earth. He decreed and he declared. So Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we know that in the beginning means there was nothing. But we also know that as we read into Genesis, he tells Adam and Eve, go and forth and repopulate. So we know that there was somebody there before, but just like he did in the days of Noah, he wiped it out, and then he was beginning all over again. So read that in there. It does say, go forth and repopulate. Now, verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, he decreed, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 5, God called the light day, and darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. He was decreeing the thing again. Verse 7, thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said again, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. Let's go back here to verse 6. No, was it verse 6? No, verse 9. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And you know, everybody tells me Delaware was a swamp. And we know Florida was a swamp. And we know that both are sinking. So did we go against God's plan when he created the earth? You know, he said, let the water just go so far. You know, and then this is going to be waters. This is land. This is just something to think about. You know, why are we having all these water issues? Because we filled it in with dirt, I guess. Filled in with something, right? To get the waters to go away and build our little canals and everything and made what should have been water, made it dry ground. Did we go against God's creation? I don't know. Think about it. That's just stuff to think about. And if you happen to come up with the good answer, let me know, right? Let us all know. So verse 10 says, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, all right, I'll stop there too at verse 10. Now I know that in the ocean, that stops at a certain place. It doesn't keep coming up. The ocean just comes so far and then it ends. So that's what God called the seas, right? Am I right? So we won't argue with that. We don't go out there and put stuff in the sea to fill it up, do we? So we can build a building on it, right? Yeah, well, they do that. They take wood. They take wood in Florida and they make their little stilts and they build something over top of the water. Excuse me, but God didn't make that to be habitated. That was supposed to be the sea. But then us people, we think we have to go against God and his creation, and we have to do stuff that God never meant us to do. Right? All right, so you can think about all that. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. Whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God gave us everything that we needed when he created this earth. So the evening and the morning were the third day. In verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament. Two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God gave us the sun and the moon and the stars. You know, why do scientists keep trying to figure out where they come from and what their purpose is, right? It's because somebody has to make money and they want to spend the government money, our money, to check in on things, read the word, and you can find out where it came from. Is that right, Alan? Thank you. All right, then, where am I at? 17. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and morning were the fourth day. I want to stop here. Every time God decreed something and declared it, he said it was good. He didn't say, oops, that's a mistake. He decreed it and declared it. And it was a good thing. So when you're decreeing, before you decree and declare, make sure it's a good thing. So there's no oops in there. All right? Are you getting that? Because you don't want to decree and declare something then, and tomorrow say, oh, I shouldn't have decreed and declared that because that's not right. That's not what God wants. Make sure you know what God has said over your life and what he's spoken into your life, and then you decree and declare that. And what did Jesus say when he was being tempted by the enemy? Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. See, He declared a word. He spoke that word to the enemy. And this is what the young lady was saying. We need to start decreeing and declaring the word over our lives. And the word could be the written word, or it could be your prophetic word that God has given you. All right, verse 20, then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth. So he said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly where? Above the earth. Across the face of the earth. I'm sorry, across the face of the firmament of the heavens. And then verse 21 says, so God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So all these things in the ocean, God created them, didn't he? All these birds that fly around, you know, and mess up your cars, God created them. Quit cursing them, right? Teach them how to use a hose to clean up after themselves. But see, God created all these things. You know, you wonder where some of these, you know, the dinosaurs and everything came from. At one point, God created them. All right, man destroyed them, right? Well, I said that wrong. Man did destroy them. I forgot how they got destroyed. It was with an earthquake or something, wasn't it? It was what? An asteroid. Yep, that's what it was. An asteroid destroyed them, come down, destroyed the earth. It doesn't matter how it happened. Who did it? God. He created them. Now he's saying, okay, now there were giants in land. I got all these big creatures. I'm going to have us little people now. So I can't have these little people out here with all these big dinosaurs, right? So he had to destroy them, right? So you have to really look at this, the way God thinks and the way he does things. And then when you do that, you have to look at yourself and look how you think and how you do things. You know, how God does them is good because he's already figured everything out. But sometimes the way we do it is bad because we don't figure it out. We just do. Right? Where am I at? In verse what? 22? Or did we read that? All right. Verse 22, and God blessed him, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So God spoke to the things in the ocean and said, you multiply. Right? So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. You know, he didn't tell man, you go get a fish or make an artificial fish and put it in a little square box with water in it and you multiply those fish. He didn't say that. He told the creatures in the ocean to multiply. So man, you know, we have really done ourselves in some things. We've messed ourselves up. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then verse 24 said, then God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. So when they get out there and they cross-pollinate animals, that's what I call it, and get some sort of weird creature, that was not what God ever intended. What did it say here? Let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. So verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let us make man in our image. This was his big mistake. Brought man into the picture, right? That messed up his whole plan. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So do you want to know what God looks like? Look at yourself in the mirror. That's what God looks like. Isn't that right? It says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air. What does he tell us to do? Let man have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God gave us dominion. Right? I'm hearing God say, but man aborted that. All right, excuse me. How did we do that? We do that because we're cruel to animals. We put them in cages, you know, we do dumb things to them. We beat them and starve them and everything else. And then the animal, animal turns on us. And God never meant it to be like that. So verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Having dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Instead, we chop all the trees down, and we build things with them. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you don't cut down the fruit trees, you know, and you know, they do destroy the fruit trees, and that is not God's plan. Verse 30 said, also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. He even made a plan to feed all the creatures. See that? You know, put your mind in the Western movies, whenever, you know, they don't want the sheep to come across where the cattle graze. Well, God made the grass for the sheep and the cattle both. They eventually found that out. But see, and there was many wars over that, wasn't there? You can't bring your cattle, I mean, your sheep into my pasture because they're going to destroy it and my cattle won't be able to eat. And see, a lot of war, a lot of people were killed, a lot of devastation happened, where if they would just understood the word of God, it was made for all creatures, not just for cattle. All right? Verse 31 says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I put that down because I wanted you to see that God knew, he knew his plan, and he spoke it forth. He knew his plan. Now I'm asking you, do you know God's plan for your life? For sure. Do you really know what his plan is for your life? Or are you getting ahead of God and wanting to do your own thing, your own way, and getting out of the will of the Father? God cannot bless your mess. We have to understand that. And you know, whenever God made male and female, he said, go forth and multiply. In other words, you're supposed to have children. He didn't go forth and kill them, or don't go forth and be sterile, but go forth and multiply. And so this abortion thing is totally against what God created in the beginning, is it not? Come on. We need to understand what God created, how he created it, and what he created it for. And he created male and female so they would have companionship. He created Adam because he wanted companionship. Then he said, you read the word, and he saw that Adam was lonely, so then he made Adam a female. That was Adam's downfall. Adam said, oh, geez, what have you, this woman you give me. Isn't that what he said? This woman you give me. And some of you guys out looking for a wife, you just better be still and know that God has got. And you need to start counting your blessings. I don't care what you think a woman might look like or be. You, once you live with them, you find out, oh, the devil had my eyes covered. Amen. Come on. All right. Now, women, you want this man in your life just dying because you can't get married. And then you say, oh, God, this man you gave me. No, this man that you wanted manifested, you got yourself. God tells you, don't want you to marry right now. But boy, you're bound to determine, I'm going to get married. I don't care who it is. Even if I have to buy it over on the email overseas from overseas, I'm going to get it. Then you get it, and oh Lord, it's not what you're supposed to have. You need to decree God when you're ready, and declare, I'm not going to get ahead of you, God. But when you're ready, it's in your plans, not in mine. And then leave it alone. Do you know why there's so many unhappy marriages? It's because you're not married to the one that God wanted you to be married to. It's one you pick and you picked and you chose. And so there you go. There you go. You have to live with the mess, right? I heard somebody say, I'm not living with no mess. Well, no, I was ministering to a married couple years ago, and she was very unhappy, and she wanted to get out of the marriage. And anyhow, God was telling her to stay in the marriage. And she said to me, I went to visit her one night in a trailer court it was, and she said, I am not going to stay in this marriage one second longer. I'm getting out. I don't care what anybody has to say. And so she did that. And a whole lot of devastation came to her. But if she would have stayed in the marriage, the man died shortly after she left him. And everything would have been fine. But because she did her thing her way, she was cursed. So if you're going to pick, if you just think you can't live without that person, why I'm on this, but I might as well stay there, right? If you think you just can't live without that person, well, you're going to find out you can't live with them either. Once you get them, you just don't know how lucky you are when you're single. You really don't. You can freely come and go, do whatever God's calling you to do. And the minute you get hook, line, and sinkered, then you're bound, right? All right. My final statement here was, my statement was, God decreed and declared. Look around about you, see what His words created. His words created a beautiful, wonderful world for you to live in. But man wanting to create something that man made has messed everything up, and now we're in a mess. And the only way you're going to get out of your mess is if you turn your heart to God totally and completely. Yield your every member to Him and just give Him full reign over your life. Say, here's this vessel you made, Lord. I messed it up, but I know You can fix it. You don't only want Him to fix it, but You want Him to smash it down and remake it. I said, God, just smash me down. Put me on that table again and remake me. You know, on the potter's wheel. Just remake me, Lord. And you must learn tonight that you have to watch what you're saying. You know, like, I used to watch all my words, I said, but when I got really sick, then I didn't watch my words, and I found out through all this that I was cursing myself. Even though it was there, I should not have been agreeing with it. You see what I'm saying? And there's things in my body I don't agree with, but then old dumb me, I agree with something else in my body. You see what I'm saying? And we have to quit that. God said you're healed, then you decree that every day. You decree it and you declare, I am healed. I am healed. I don't care what the enemy has spoken over your life. God is saying you're healed. If He says your marriage is going to straighten out, then that's what's going to happen. Unless you mess it up. If you just start decreeing, my marriage is going to be perfect, we're going to be one on one mind and one accord, whatever God has spoken to you, start decreeing that and declaring that, and watch and see what God's going to do with your words that you speak, that He's spoken over you. This is why it's so important that you keep the words God has spoken over you, and listen to them. Get them out and listen to them. Or if you write them down, read them. And just, you know, and then agree with God for what He's saying. And if you've messed up along the way, just you say, God, I'm really sorry I messed up in that area. But now I'm repenting, and now I'm agreeing with You, and I'm decreeing and declaring that this is truly what is going to happen in my life. But in the process of us not believing God's word or just not caring about God's word, we not only mess our own lives up, but we mess the lives of people around about us up. Are you understanding this? So you're not the only one in the boat. There's always somebody else that you're going to take down with you. Always. Always, always, always. I really try to emphasize that on everybody I talk to. They say, well, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. I said, that's not true. There's so many people around about you that's connected to you that you're hurting too. When you're talking to an unsaved person or a backslidden person, they don't want to hear that, but that is the truth. When you mess up, you take others down the path with you. And one day you're going to see him before the Father, and he's going to say to you, how come you did this? And then he's going to show you all, well, Brother Brett saw that in a vision. Here's going to be all these people lined up that you messed up because you didn't want to do God's will, his way. I'm hearing God say, sometimes it hurts to follow my word, but in the end, in the long run, you come out on top. And so you might have to go into a valley, is what God is saying. And it might not be a pleasant valley, but in that valley, God's going to teach you some really good plans that you need to work with. And whenever you come out of that valley, then you're going to know how to walk with God, how to treat people around about you. And you're going to learn that you're not the only one on the planet. It's like God told me one day years ago, daughter, you are not the only one in this boat. He was a prophet and said, I'm the only prophet alive. And God said, that's a lie. There's more than you. And see, and how many of us think, I'm the only one going through this trial, this tribulation. Why me, Lord? There's so many more going through the very same thing that you're going through. So quit feeling sorry for yourself. Just pick yourself up. Pat yourself on the back that you got back up again and decree, I'm going forth, and declare this time I'm going to stay on the path of going forth. I'm not going to turn around for nothing, absolutely nothing. Now, I'm hearing God say he's not going to preach this word again. He's taught you tonight, very short and simple, to the point. You can go back and listen to Sid Roth again. But tonight he wants you to start decreeing and declaring the truth over your life and quit speaking what God said, the lies that the enemy are telling you. I was sitting there tonight praying about the service tonight, and I didn't know what I said, and God said, stop! That's a lie from the enemy. That is not the truth. Don't you ever listen to that lie again. I even forgot what I was saying. He startled me when he said, yell, stop. So see how we do that? We unknowingly and unwittingly, the enemy has whispered something in our ear, and we believed it, not even knowing that we did. But if you repeat it, God's going to stop you. He said, that did not come from me, that came from the enemy. So when God says, when you're saying something and you hear God yell, stop, stop and repent. Tell that enemy your ears are not to listen to his voice. Your ears only hear the voice of the Almighty God. God gave each one of you a powerful word this morning. It was a word of encouragement. And I hope you go back and listen to that word. And I hope that you start decreeing those things over your life. And I hope that we never have to go down that. Well, God says he's not going to teach us again. But I hope you never have to go down the wrong path simply because you didn't believe God's word that he spoke to you, but you believed the enemy's word. God's saying some of you have some really strongholds in your life that's going to need to be broken, and you know what they are. And as you decree them broken over your life, it's going to come to pass. And he's saying that quit allowing the enemy to manipulate and control you. You make the enemy stop. You know when the enemy's coming into your life, and you know when he's trying to manipulate you into thinking or saying or doing something that's against what God has told you. So you make the enemy stop. It's your job to do that, because God's given you the power and authority to speak life into your life instead of death. All right? And God's saying there's going to be many, many opportunities for you to go down the wrong road. You know, in other words, believe in what the enemy's saying instead of what God's saying. And so right now, tonight, he'd like to wash your ears out with his salve so that the enemy can't speak into your ears. But when he washes, your ears are going to be pure and they're going to be unclogged. And the only voice you'll hear from this point on is the voice of the Almighty God. And you won't believe any lie that the enemy ever speaks to you ever again. He said you are in a wellspring of living waters with him right now. If you stay in that wellspring of living waters, the enemy will never be able to ever again make you do something that it's not of God. Trip you up is what he's saying. All right. Let him wash your ears tonight. Wash out all that old garbage that the enemy has put in there. And let your ears be pure and holy to only hear the voice of the Almighty God. You know, he whispered, you know, the enemy says, but he could say, you're ugly. He could say, you'll never finish this race. He could say, well, you know, your past is always going to follow you. It's always going to pull you down. He could say anything like that. But that's, God doesn't do that. So when you hear all that kind of junk, that's not of God. And you need to decree and declare that the devil's a liar. And that you're living by the word of God, not by what the enemy tells you. And God wants you to start lifting up a higher standard in your own lives. You're still not up. That bar hasn't lifted yet that God was talking about this morning. He wants you to lift that bar. Allow him to lift it and live in a higher standard. You don't have to live below what God has called you to do. You just really do not. Remember, God told me, daughter, you will always settle for second best when I want you to have the very best. So I quit that. I said, from this day forth, I'm only going to settle for the best of everything in my life. And, you know, my life started turning around. And I no longer settle for second best. The second best comes along. I said, nope, devil. God said I was only supposed to have the very best, so I'm waiting for the very best, and the very best comes along. And I was telling my family, we were looking for a new lawnmower, riding lawnmower. Oh, well, so-and-so down, they sell the best used lawnmowers. I said, don't buy used anything. God told me never to go to, Goodwill, Goodwill, and buy clothes. Don't you ever go there. And I'm not going to go to any place and buy anything used. I don't want anything refurbished. That's second best, isn't it? I want the very best that God has. Well, you're going to have to pay for it. I said, I'll pay for it, but I'm going to get the very best. And so when it was brought home yesterday, I said, boy, I'm glad you didn't go to the used shop down there and buy that piece of junk. Or you see what I'm saying? Why do we do that, children of God? Why do we do that? Why do we always settle for second best? Have you noticed how everybody brings you their hand-me-downs? Because the devil knows you always settle for a second best. Now, I'm not saying don't receive a hand-me-down, but I'm saying, where are your standards? Sister Barbara gave us, you know, in the church, a really nice rug. And somebody said before we got it to our house, well, I want it. And so Teresa Ann washed up, and I went through the bottom room. I said, oh, I really do like that. So I promised somebody else, and I said, why do you let me see that first? She said, Mom, it's used. I said, okay. Are you a child of the king or not? King's kids don't go around begging. King's kids don't go out there dumpster hunting. You know, they don't do that. They settle for only the best. So, and when you walk with God, why are you settling for second best? Why are you allowing the enemy to bind you up and tie you down? God wants you to have the very best. Well, Father, I just thank you and I praise you for your beautiful word you gave tonight, for the lady on the video that knows who you are and knows how to talk, for teaching us how to talk, Father God, and to change our words. And your word even tells us that our tongue is what kills us. And so, Father God, tonight, I watched the people as you was cleansing their ears. They were saying to you, I only want to hear your voice, Father. I want the very best that heaven offers. Father God, give them the very best that heaven offers. Bless them abundantly, Father. And, Father, we just thank you for tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.